Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, great to be out here on the town here in the Flathead Valley on this, what is it, Thursday morning? It always feels like a Friday or a Saturday when I'm in the Flathead. Eric Maldonado, KJJR Radio, B Broadcasting. Thanks for being our gracious host here this morning, setting up all the equipment, setting up all the gear. What a great location we're at here today.
Wonderful location. And, you know, Aaron, I love setting up. I love when you come to town. You should come to town more often.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge,
yeah,
nudge.
Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, but hey, you heard us right. If you're listening to KJJR right now, not only elsewhere across the state, but especially if you're listening to us on KJJR right now, we are set up at Mountain Pass Safes and Coins, right off of Highway 2 here in Kalispell. And The Spot just delivered some donuts and some pastries, and apparently we got some really good coffee. Was it Camo Coffee?
I believe so, yeah.
I think it was Camo. Yeah, Camo Coffee right around the corner, so I like the sound of that one. And I just met a fellow Army veteran here. Pat just dropped down. He said he was just here. He bought a Byrna for his wife, and she's loving that.
So yeah, I bought a couple Byrnas from here for our church after the incidents that have been happening in the last couple of months against the Christian faith all over the country. There's been some crazy people, and you know, I figured we're trying to get people to Jesus. We don't want to send them away, so I figured I'd get a couple burners for the church, and that way we feel a little more comfortable, you know, having people come to the door. So
yeah, you know, I was walking my dog, and I went past one of the big churches on the west end of Billings, and I thought it was really cool. They, you know, I know that they have guys who are, you know, armed, who are concealed carry, protecting their people as well. But I even saw they had like a roving guard driving like a Jeep around with a little light on it or whatever, just checking the perimeter, seeing if there's any crazy people walking by, like me with my dog. You know,
it's a scarier time. I mean, there are some. I don't know where these people came from, but there are people that have decided that they just want to do bad things. And so we just have to make sure that we're all protected.
So I know Steve Rice is going to tell us how the Byrna works here a little bit later, but how does the whole thing work? I hear Sean Hannity talk about it all the time.
He let me shoot one before I bought them for the church, and they're actually kind of fun to shoot. But basically, they shoot a projectile that is traveling at a very high rate of speed, and if it hits you, you're going to feel it.
You're going to feel it.
You're going to feel it really, really
big. But it's non-lethal, so if you want to take somebody down and eliminate the threat without eliminating.
Then they have
without taking them out. You can take them down without taking them out.
They have a pepper ball too. So, you know, some people will load the kinetic round, which is basically just a round, and then they'll maybe put the pepper ball in there as well, and you get hit with one of those and you definitely aren't going to get up. That's the plan.
Yeah, whenever I hear Sean Hannity, you know, he's got that New York accent. And
it doesn't sound like Byrna.
Not as bad as Linda. Yeah, he sounds like, I've got a Byrna. And I'm thinking he's talking about he has a burner phone or something.
Yeah, that's
like
what I thought.
He's got a burner to, you know, throw away to not be tracked by the government or something. But no, he's talking about a Byrna.
Yeah, I thought I was the only one that recognized that. But yeah, he can't pronounce it.
It's that New York thing, which is nowhere near as bad as Linda's thick New York accent. Or near as good, I guess, depending on your perspective.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here. We've got a great guest kicking off our show here. Hear from the Flathead right after this, and a really cool guy says this is the smartest tech guy he knows. Stand by.
It's July 31st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Avocado Day. This superfood is not simply the main ingredient to your favorite guacamole recipe. Avocados are rich in healthy fats, which make them the perfect addition to any meal or as an alternative to spreads on toast or sandwiches. The ancient Aztecs would beautify their skin using avocado masks, a practice which made its way into the modern cosmetic industry in the early 20th century. Also on this date, in 1994, longtime New York Yankee shortstop and broadcaster Phil Rizzuto was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
The only reason that I'm here today, believe it or not, is because of you fans, my family, my relatives, and all my friends.
Scooter was joined by Philadelphia Phillies pitcher Steve Carlton. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actor Dean Cain, born in 1966. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so Eric Maldonado, yeah, I was telling you this earlier. So Nick McKinley, he was an Air Force PJ. Then he was in the CIA. He's a Montana kid. He started an incredible, anti-human trafficking organization called the Deliver Fund. But I got a nice surprise message from Nick McKinley, who lives here in the Flathead now, by the way, as well. So hopefully he'll drop in. But I got a nice message from him earlier. He said, hey, I hear you're going to have my friend Ian Caltaviano on your program. He said, he is the smartest tech guy I know. And he's sitting right here, Eric.
I feel smarter just sitting.
Sitting next to him.
I'm gleaning.
Yeah.
He's probably not going to be able to code when he gets back because I'm taking all his power right now.
25 years old. I had to ask him. I was like, how old are you? Because, young man here, 25 years old. Anyway, Ian Caltaviano, great to have you on the show.
Man, it's such a pleasure to be here with you guys. Thanks for having me.
So you live in Helena now, but you actually grew up in Whitefish.
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in Whitefish, back when you could actually get around the place before all the Californians came up. You know who you are, right?
Did you graduate?
I graduated from Whitefish High.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Go Bulldogs, right?
Yeah.
What year did you graduate?
That would have been back in 2017.
2017, yeah, which it seems like that shouldn't be that long ago now.
Tell me about it, but I'll tell you what, nothing makes me feel old like being a parent, right?
You're a parent now. Wow, very cool. Yeah, how old are your kids?
16 months old.
Wow.
So you work from home, or do you guys have a business?
Oh, I'm lucky enough to work from home.
Awesome.
But I take the chance to come up here for work and whenever I can.
Well, coding is it's one of those things where you come up with an idea, you have to have a computer right next to you.
Even now, I have a computer in my car.
So you started coding at 13 years old in Whitefish, and then you became one of the COVID kids, basically, where, your whole opportunity got shut down because of COVID and college campuses, right?
Yeah, I had this internship lined up. I was going to travel out to Boise for work, and COVID happened. They said, hey, look, we can't have you come out. And, yeah, that was hard, right? Like, what do you do when you're a college student, you think you have it all figured out, and all of a sudden you don't? But, through a really funny series of events, I got connected with Nick. We started talking, and he said, you know what, I might have an opportunity with you. And I've been with Nick, working with Nick and for Nick for the last 5 years since.
Wow. And you guys just recently launched a startup, right? So I reached out. So the Montana High Tech Business Alliance is having a reception later this afternoon, kind of before the Montana Chamber of Commerce has their big reception kicking off the Governor's Cup here in the Flathead. And so that's how I got linked up with you, because I said, hey, if you guys have anybody interesting wants to join me on the radio, send them over. And so they send us you here. So tell us about this startup, 10-Point Data.
Yeah, so 10-Point Data is what we like to call, we'd like to kind of think of as a Palantir for small to medium-sized businesses. So what we mean by that, right, is it doesn't matter who you are, you're making decisions every day, right? You're thinking about who are you having on your show, what are you going to talk about, what are your talking points, all of these things. And those things take time to think about, right? It takes time, it takes effort. So what we do is we work with people and we say, hey, look, these are the decisions you're making, these are the things you're thinking about. Let's help you make those decisions faster, better, and cheaper. Let's make it easier for you. Let's make your life easier so you can do the things that actually matter more, right? And what we're seeing is that we live in an age right now where artificial intelligence and all these other hot tech things are making it possible for people, but people are trying to figure out how to bridge the gap from how can I use this to actually using it themselves, and that's what we do.
So you use AI then?
Every day.
Okay.
Yeah. Who doesn't use AI anymore? I bet there are people using AI that have no idea that they're using it.
Not to get quite off topic, but did you watch Elon Musk's conference when he talked about the Grok 4 and then the Grok Super?
Yeah, I keep tabs on all that stuff because it's really fascinating. But I think what's interesting is, you know, you watch all these big tech companies talk about all the cool stuff that's happening with AI, right? And I think people get really excited about the potential, but it's intimidating. These are big things. Like, how do I use this myself? How do I do it myself, right?
And how do you trust it? Like, I like Grok, but even sometimes I'll ask Grok something, and I'm like, not really. Well, but then you just trace the source info to find out where they're getting their information.
Well, again, not to get too nerdy, we were talking about the altcoins and whatnot. I actually have bought Chainlink because the Chainlink is that's what it's designed to do, is to keep AI honest. It's the connection between the real world and the AI world. And, of course, being nerdy.
So you just mentioned that 10 point data, it's like this Palantir for us, for you. So for people who don't know what Palantir is, the only reason I know what Palantir is because, you know, after serving in the military, I'm now retired from the military, but especially with, you know, about half of my career being in special operations, the special operations guys love Palantir and what it helps them do with information.
Oh, absolutely. You know, for those of you who are listening who don't know what Palantir is, what they basically do is they make all of your data more usable. Now, they do a lot of things, right? And I'm simplifying here. But at the end of the day, their entire function is to go to businesses and say, hey, look, you have all of this information, all this data. How do you make decisions with that data? And they do a phenomenal job about it, by the way. You know, they have people come in, they work with you directly. They say, hey, look, these are the problems you have. We can solve those problems. And they have this brilliant ecosystem built up around it. It's really no surprise that they are as valuable as they are these days, right? They're doing some really good work. At the end of the day, it's not accessible to the small, medium-sized businesses, right? You know, I spend a lot of time...
So that's who you're trying to help, is
the locals,
small and medium-sized businesses.
You know, I spend a lot of time talking to people here in Montana, right? I live in Helena. I have the opportunity to talk to farmers and politicians, small business owners, right? I talk to a lot of people, and they say, hey, Ian, you're a coder. What can you do? And it's like, well, you know, you have all these problems. You know, you've been solving them the same way for 50 years. You're so used to it, you don't think about the fact that you can do it easier, and I can help you do that. Right, and that's really all it is. You know, save 10 seconds here, 20 seconds here, and you're doing it 30 times a week. That adds up real quick.
Well, I even think about when I was out in Plentywood, for example, for the Farm Expo out there, and how much data, how much information, even just your typical farmer now in eastern Montana is getting, or here in the Flathead, a typical farmer, you know, if you're out on a canola field or whatever.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
And they're, you know, they might be using drones to map out their land. They, you know, they might use more fertilizer in this part of the land, but then less over here. Okay. You know, more water here, less water there. Hold that thought. More to follow. Quick break here with Montana Talks, live from Mountain Pass Safes and Coins in Kalispell.
Fox Sports Update.
Making trades before the baseball trade deadline. I'm Jared Max. Several major league teams were busy Wednesday altering their rosters, trading players and acquiring new ones. Former Seattle Mariner Eugenio Suarez, who's hit 36 home runs for the Diamondbacks this season and leads the National League with 87 runs batted in, appears to be on his way back to Seattle. The Diamondbacks are getting a trio of prospects from the Mariners for Suarez, who played in Seattle in 2022 and 23. This season, Suarez has 36 home runs, 5 fewer than the Mariners' Cal Raleigh, for the Major League lead. This trade getting worked out 1 week since the D-backs dealt first baseman Josh Naylor to the Mariners. Seattle 57-52, currently tied for the final American League wildcard playoff spot. In the National League East, the first-place Mets and second-place Phillies both made moves Wednesday. The Mets made trades with the Giants and the Cardinals for two top relief pitchers. The Mets got sub-Mariner throwing right-hander Tyler Rogers from the Giants for three prospects and right-handed reliever Ryan Helsley from the Cardinals for three minor leaguers. Rogers has a 1.80 ERA, Helsley a 3.00 earned run average. While he has 21 saves, Helsley is expected to be a setup man to Mets closer Edwin Diaz. The Phillies traded a pair of prospects to the Twins to get closer Joan Duran. who has a 2.01 ERA with 53 strikeouts. The Reds made a three-team trade with the Rays and the Dodgers. The Reds got right-handed pitcher Zach Littell from the Rays. Littell has an 8-8 record, 3.58 ERA. Cincinnati made another deal. The Reds got defensive-minded third baseman Key Brian Hayes in a deal with the Pirates. The Cubs got starting pitcher Mike Soroka from the Nationals for a pair of prospects. Soroka has a 3-8 record and 4.87 ERA. He's hit 14 batters this season, most in the league. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient. I'm quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
All right, Eric Maldonado, this is exciting. I see our friend Bob Heron just showed up. Always good to see friends here. I'm hoping finally we can convince him to actually talk on the microphone, because he always has good things to say, but, you know, he's one of those great guys who likes to hang back and enjoy coffee.
He's whispering in my ear right now.
He's passing you notes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get Bob here on the microphone. Yeah, we've got the microphones open for you as we're broadcasting live from Mountain Pass Safes and Coins here in Kalispell, right off of Highway 2. Cool area here, too, by the way. That winery right around the corner, the Water's Edge Winery. Great Canadian couple that loves America. We did some events there last year. Really good food. Good, huge wine list. It's just a neat. And then the Army Navy store is right down the road. They got the Blade Room in there. We're going to talk about safes and Burnas and gold and much more here throughout this morning. But yeah, the microphones are open. Come on down and see us. We got donuts from the spot, and we got camo coffee and more. So tell me what you and Ian were just talking about during the break here, because you're really good with this tech stuff, and of course, you know, we've got the smartest tech guy that Nick McKinley knows here in the house, too.
We were basically just talking about how AI is so commonplace, and he was talking about how he wants to teach people how to use it for everyday usage. That's what we were talking about.
You know what I think is really crazy, though? You know, is people think that AI is kind of out of reach. It's this high-tech thing. But I think that's a little bit misplaced. You know, look around Montana, right? We've had self-driving tractors for years. Like, come on, Elon. Get on the bandwagon here. We've been doing this for years, right?
Yeah, it's funny, like, all these big city people, oh, look, I'm using Grok, and we think we're all fancy. The farmers and ranchers have been using the craziest technology since the 90s.
Like, come on, right? I go out to the farm and I learn things that I didn't know, right? But that's the point, right? AI is only as good as the information you put into it. It's only as good as the effort that's put into it, right? Your creativity, your grit, your determination, all these things, right? That's how good you're going to get out of it.
Yeah. You kind of have to know. The tech world is just knowing the questions to ask.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, that's all it is. It's like, I don't know what questions to ask. So if I'm just a regular business owner, I tell you that my problems. I'm like, I need this, and I don't need this, and I need this. And you just decipher what he told you. Oh, this is what you need. This is what you're really asking me.
Absolutely. And I think one thing AI does better than anything else is it makes it so that people who know what questions to ask can ask those questions and get answers easier, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't need someone like me to answer those questions anymore.
Yeah.
You can ask those questions and get good enough answers. And what's really cool, the more you know, the better you are at your job, the more effectively you're going to be able to use these technologies.
So we were talking during the break about, okay, you get, now it's so easy to get overwhelmed by so much information. It's just like if you looked at my studio desk, I've got too much information scattered out in front of me. So what do we end up talking about? Who knows, right? But right. It's the same thing, like, say, a farmer rancher or another business, you're getting all this information. Like, my cousins out in eastern Montana, my uncle Monty, before he passed away, he had this little book that he kept, you know, in his pearl snap button shirt pocket, right? He had this little book, and he recorded data about everything, what the temperature was that day, how much precipitation they did or did not get that day, what this cow was doing, what this cow weighed, the calves here, the calves there. He recorded everything, and then my cousin still carries that same, book today and keeps adding to it. And so, but the farmer that now knows, okay, I get this much precipitation over here, but I get this much less precipitation over here. I get a little dip in my farm field here, more fertilizer, less fertilizer. Okay, now you've got all this information. How do you compile all that information into the so what? So what do I do with it?
I think you hit the nail on the head, right? At the end of the day, what are we trying to do? We're trying to answer so what? What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Right? These are the questions that people answer every day when they go to work, right? That's what we help people answer.
What's the most interesting or coolest tech stuff that's going on in tech right now, or the scariest thing going on in tech right now?
You know, I think we have to give credit where credit's due. I think people don't realize just how well-positioned Montana is to take advantage of what's happening in tech right now. You know, I think one thing everyone can agree on is how great of a job Gianforte's done about fostering the tech ecosystem here in Montana, right? Supporting technology education, supporting, you know, the construction of new tech buildings on campuses. His influence when it comes to technology in Montana can't really be understated. But why I say that is because of how Montana's positioned. We have, you know, the rural and urban interfaces. We have people in both settings. We have a really strong small business ecosystem. AI does a phenomenal job about allowing people to have opportunity they wouldn't have had anymore. The kid in Wolf Point who doesn't have access to a strong internet connection has the same economic outcome that the kid in Whitefish who goes to Whitefish High does, right? You know, I read this story the other day. There was this company called Base 44. Phenomenal thing. You know, this guy used AI to build the entire company from scratch by himself. And in 6 months, he sold that company for $90 million.
Whoa.
Right? These are economic outcomes we've never had access to before. And now everyone has the ability to use it. And if the only thing that differentiates is your ability to create, to imagine, to work hard, right? Why isn't Montana the best place to be doing this? Well, it is, right?
Because you can live in a place like this.
Exactly.
It's well, like you can do a radio show from anywhere.
Which right? goes back to the real skeletal base bone of all AI, all tech, is really electricity. And what have we talking about before? What's the big problem that we have in Montana? It's electricity. We need more electricity. Are they going to let us have nuclear? Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. But can we fire the coal fire plants up?
Jeez. I've got my shirt. I've got my Uptop Great Butte America, you know, clothing company. It's an Uptop T-shirt, but it's got a Montana, you know, outline on it, and it says coal. I actually got this 1 year ago at the Governor's Cup last year because the Signal Peak Energy guys that have the Bull Mountains coal mine were there, and it's one of my favorite T-shirts, so that's why I thought I'd wear it again today. But you know, Ian Caltabiano, 10 Point Data is the startup they launched, 25 years old, graduated from Whitefish High. You were in Bozeman, and you were like, okay, this is too expensive. So you and your wife moved to Helena.
Yeah, we
did. That's where you're operating your business out of, and so... So what is, if you had to say what the future of AI is in Montana, what's the future of AI in Montana? We've kind of talked about a little bit of what now, but what's next?
It's little things. I think as far as the technology goes, it's little things. It's people incrementally adopting it. It's figuring out how to do things slightly faster, slightly cheaper, slightly better, right? One of the things that's great about Montana is the small business culture or the family-owned business culture, right? We're just more interested in getting stuff done, and it lets us get stuff done faster. But I think the other thing, too, that we can't ignore is that Montana has the space, it has the resources, it has the minds, right? We have the people, we have the places to build great things, right? And I think that Montana has the potential to really be the next kind of Silicon Valley when we talk about this stuff. Just look at some of the innovation that's coming out of the state.
As long as we don't turn into the Silicon Valley.
That's the trick.
Montana, yeah. But like I said,
I lived in Whitefish. I remember what it was like before all the Californians came, right? So... Trust me, I,
I remember whitefish in the 80s, and like people are like, oh, I got priced out of whitefish. I was like, I was priced out of whitefish in the 90s. Are you kidding me?
Whitefish used to be the most conservative city in the Flathead Valley.
Still some great patriots in Whitefish, though, man. Some great, great folks there. It's just the liberal left has got kind of taken over some of our, some of our cities and towns. But the Flathead, I tell you what, well, when it comes to our listeners and our callers into this show, I think the Flathead has got to be just one of the strongest, if not the strongest, conservative, activist pocket of Montana in terms of getting engaged and getting involved coming up from this corner. But anyway, back to tech and back to AI and more. When it comes to electricity, look, these guys are begging for electricity. And the part of the reason why I'm wearing my coal shirt today is because, Eric mentioned nuclear. We're going to need coal. We talk about Flathead Lake and the lake levels. Look, if we don't get electricity from things like coal and natural gas and nuclear, what do you think they're going to be doing? They're coming for more of your water. So that's why we need these other energy sources. Oh, I was talking with a guy. He's with Riot Partners, I think it is, cryptocurrency type deal. But we were talking about Bitcoin mining. Yeah. You could be a miner. You could be a rancher and have a stream going through your property. Create your own little hydropower dam, small hydropower dam, and you could be mining Bitcoin right there.
You know, what's crazy is that it's things like that that make Montana the best place to be built in the future, right? We're talking about crypto, we're talking about AI, right? These are the things that are the future. They're going to build the future on these things. And what does it take to do those things? It takes power. It takes space, right? It takes people who are willing to do the hard things, right? Why Montana is the best place for these opportunities.
Well, and frankly, if you want to build a data center, why don't we take the natural gas that's coming out of the oil fields in the Bakken, and why don't we put a, data center or a Bitcoin mine right there, right next to the wellhead? And, and you don't need to put it in, say, Kalispell or Whitefish or Bozeman, because, the population centers where land and space is a huge priority. You put it out in eastern Montana where they could use that revenue for their local schools, where they don't have the population boom that parts of the western part of the state.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So you talk about the future of Montana. That's where I think it is.
Well, you make it sound exciting. I was going to leave. I was going back to California, but now.
Yeah. We'll let you stay.
Actually, you're several generations here. When did your family first
meet? 1974.
Actually,
if you want to count my uncle who brought us all here, it was 1972. My uncle, Robin, who someday I'll have him on the show. He was the youngest man to sail around the world by himself.
Very cool.
1968 to 1970.
Now, my family roots, my wife was making fun of me on the drive up from Polson to Kalispell, because right when we get around, when we get around Big Arm and that area, she's like, well, over here is where the old family homestead is. Yeah, my family homestead down in Nirata. Got to visit it before the homestead house was actually torn down. So that was back in the 90s as well. Well, Ian Caltabiano, man, so cool to meet you. So good to see you. Thanks for coming down and joining us on the show. And we'll have to get you on again one of these days.
Thanks for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, tell Nick to, put some clothes on and get down here. Get to work,
Well, if he's not too busy crushing evil.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Nick McKinley, isn't he just incredible?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me look at my time clock here to see. I had to mute the studio feed here for just a second in case we got a break that we're going to. We still got about 30 or so seconds. So there's Francis and Big Fork. All right. The celebrity has arrived. Open microphones for you as well. We've got a champion in the house. I see a fancy jersey back there. So Eric Maldonado, that must be Lauren Bergman. Is that Lauren Bergman back there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll tell you who Lauren Bergman is. She just won some really crazy
something
competition.
Just really cool.
It's really cool, really crazy. Okay, we'll see if we can get Lauren Bergman on the microphone next. And Dean, did you want to get on? Yeah, Dean, hop up here if you wanted to get on the microphone as well. Come on up.
Donald Trump's America.
Kill the clipboard would store your medical records in touch-of-the-button apps, making it easier for doctors to see your medical history.
We will save time, we'll save money, and most importantly, we'll save lives.
President Trump says the breakthrough was commitments from dozens of healthcare and technology companies without new federal rules.
We take a major step to bring healthcare into the digital age. Something that is absolutely vital. You got to do it.
The initiative is being driven by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, led by Administrator Dr. Mehmet Oz.
We are building a robust and safe, I emphasize that, safe system. It's going to protect the data better than we could have imagined.
The program is entirely opt-in, official stress, and CMS says it will add an app library to Medicare.gov to highlight trusted digital health tools. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
When my a crazy story out of Bozeman, Montana, although not that crazy when you think about how crazy the left-wing politics is there, a female firefighter and medic for the city of Bozeman lost her baby during an ectopic pregnancy, and the city of Bozeman refused to grant her bereavement leave. And when she told them more about her story, they made the policy even worse. Check out that full audio on the Montana Talks podcast on Spotify or on the app.
A message from FireSafe Montana. A process called wildfire scoring may be used to determine the insurability of your property. Your home may be insurable today, but it might not be in the future. If building a new home, check with your insurance agent to determine if they will insure it, how that score was determined, and what the cost will be. And remember, wildfires can happen inside the city limits. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Eric Maldonado, I was just going to ask you, if I use this phrase as an introduction, does this have a negative connotation? Because I want to be like, this woman is a battle axe, an absolute battle axe. And no, I'm not talking about Francis and Big Fork. I'm talking about Lauren Bergman. We're going to chat with Lauren Bergman here in a second, but give us a little preview before we hear from Lauren.
Well, actually, my wife goes to the same church, and she got a feed on her Facebook. And I watched the video and I was like, that's cool. We got to have her on the station. So I've been talking back and forth. And she said in one of her texts, make sure that they know there's going to be a woman at the front door with an axe. And I said, well, it's a Thursday. That happens all the time at Broadcasting.
So she must be from Ferndale. She's got a cool jersey on that says Lauren the Lumber Jill. She is basically a world record setter, a world champ. So we're going to talk with her in just a second. Hey, but first, though, I want to say hi to Dean. I got to meet Dean before. I think he's called into the show. And, of course, we've got open microphones for you. And, Dean, thanks for coming down and seeing us here at Mountain Pass Safes and Coins.
Well, thank you. You have a fantastic show.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for the invitation.
It's an honor, yeah. Well, you know, we've been giving the Californians a hard time here this morning. So we, out of fairness, we do have to say, you know what, there are some really good people who fled California and found refuge here in Montana. But in many who are military veterans or law enforcement veterans like yourself, you served in the LAPD. And yes. Thank you so much for your service.
Well, I have been accused of being a trespasser. Because I wasn't born here, but... Yeah, you're right. There's some great people here. The law enforcement's good, too, and just very professional. The sheriffs, and they have a posse that's indispensable. They have a problem with getting manpower because they don't get the funds. But generally speaking, if something goes down, the city, the highway patrol, and the sheriffs all respond.
They back each other up.
Yeah. And a message to a criminal, if you want to come here and you're a felon, you're in trouble.
Well, likewise, or an illegal alien. I mean, Border Patrol and ICE have been out there, you know, rounding folks up as well. You know, to your point, yesterday on the show, we had Jody Moore, the wife of the fallen Broadwater County Deputy Mason Moore, and she started the Mason Moore Foundation in his honor, but they're doing a big mental health event here in Kalispell, September 9th and 10th, and it'd be great even to have retired law enforcement like yourself in the room, you know, to kind of kind of talk to the younger guys about what helped you get through some of the tough stuff you probably had to see in the LAPD.
Oh, I did. It's kind of pretty bad. I forgot most of it, but some of it's awful. But with gang members, there's MS-13 here and the Venezuelan gang, whose symbol on their neck is an upside-down AK-47. So I've seen several of them here now. I think ICE probably got them out of here, but there, you see them at the laundromat and other places.
Interesting. Yeah, so you, being a former LAPD guy, just doing normal day-to-day stuff here in the Flathead, you see the signs.
Yeah, I can recognize the tattoos.
Wow.
The MS-13 person that they were concerned about being illegally kicked out, the one that came from El Salvador. These gang members always have a symbol on their body somewhere. So you can't deny that they're gang members. It's somewhere on their body, sometimes behind the ear, sometimes on the neck, sometimes on the knuckles.
Yeah. So, and like we've talked about before, that nobody fakes that. That's a death sentence. You don't fake an MS-13 tattoo or a Venezuelan gang tattoo without knowing that if you're not in that gang, they're going to kill you.
Yeah, because this came up at Eric Maldonado. We were here doing a show in the Flathead, and, yeah, we were talking about Kilmore.
Or Garcia.
Yeah. Who literally had MS-13 in symbols spelled out in tattoos on his knuckles, basically, on his fingers. And they mocked President Trump for pointing this out.
Well, it doesn't say MS-13.
Yeah, the symbols represent
MS-13. And what I told you at the time was he's in a prison with other gang members. If he's not MS-13, he's dead.
Yeah, because if you're pretending to be what you aren't, they will whack you. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a fact. It won't last long.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, you know, here we are. We're at we've got these beautiful safes all around us here. And shout out to our friends in Bozeman as well. We've got our friends down in Bozeman at Northwest Safes of Montana. We're here at Mountain Pass Safes and Coins in Kalispell. And we're going to talk with Steve Rice, the owner, here in a few minutes. But these safes are so important. It's not just about guns. It's about documents. It's about family heirlooms. And, you know, just like Big Sky, you know, what is Trinidad Arago? What are they known for? Home invasions, burglaries.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you live in Big Sky part of the year or all of the year, you know, they're going to target you. And we know that TDA operatives have been busted in that area as well. Same thing in the Flathead. They know there's a lot of vacation home owners, people that maybe have second homes here.
Right.
So keep your stuff safe.
Yeah. Gallatin County is really having a problem with gang members. And you wouldn't think so. But the sheriff's having a real problem with that.
That's right, yeah. And then he's got a problem with his county commissioners down there in Gallatin County as well. Whereas at least up here in the Flathead, you got your county commissioners are looking out for you. Well, Dean, great to see you. Thanks for your service.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming down. Yeah, great to see you. All right, well, again, I don't know if it's safe to say it or not, especially when she's holding a gigantic, freshly sharpened axe in front of me right now. But this gal must be a real battle axe. World champion. You'll stand behind. Okay. Lauren Bergman, great to see you. Man, I just saw one of the videos of this world record you set. This is crazy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So talk about what you do and how you got into it.
Yeah, I compete in lumberjack sports. I got started at the Flathead Valley Community College on the collegiate team, and that's where I met my husband. And we've just continued competing in the sport, and now I'm at the professional level and traveling. And this last weekend had some pretty good success.
This was just this last weekend this happened.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, I got to get a story on our website here and get that video up. So you go by Lauren the Lumber Jill. Is your husband a lumberjack?
Yes, he is.
What events do you do and what does he do?
I do chopping and sawing, and he does all the chopping and sawing, and we saw together. That's how we met, and we started sawing. And in the collegiate level, we were almost undefeated.
So is this for fun and for sport, or do you do this a little bit in your day job as well?
This is for fun. Yeah. We are able to win some prize money at our competitions, and it kind of pays for the gas and a little bit of equipment. But my husband is an arborist, so we do cut down trees for a living. A lot of correlation in our life with wood and trees and timber and axes.
It's kind of like the ranchers that take part in ranch rodeo, you know, for the arborists and the timber industry folks. This is kind of like your ranch rodeo.
Yep, absolutely.
Doing this lumberjack sports.
Yep. It's just a great way to continue the historical way that we used to log in this country.
So what was this world record you just sent? Because so it looks like there's a log set up on a pedestal, and then you've got your axe, and it's you and another gal, and you both start swinging away, and whoever chops it over first basically wins, right?
Yep, it's a vertical block, and they're all 10 inches in diameter and about 30 inches long, and we just try to chop the block as fast as we can. We chop through half of the block, and then we turn around and chop the other half of the block, and the fastest time wins.
So what was the title of that video again? Do you have it? You have it in front of you there, or I'm sure you remember. So what was the record that you set over the weekend, and in what event was that again?
It was the world record standing block chop at the Steel Timber Sports.
Standing block chop.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yep. World record in that. And what goes through your mind while you're standing there and then when the bell goes off and you got to start hacking away?
Yeah, I usually have a routine of like a mantra to keep in my head of what my strategy is for chopping the block. And my strategy with this one was just to make each hit count and to be accurate. And I started chopping about several hits in. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going really good. Don't screw it up. So I just kept focusing on exactly what I needed to do. And it threw me off a little bit because it was going so good and just turned out going pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, what were you pointing out here, Eric? Oh, yeah, your microphone. There we go. Yeah.
I was going to say, what point did you know that you were going to win? Because I see that, like, your one chop, you went really deep, and then you switched over to the other side. And the commentators were even talking about your opponent, King, mm-hmm. and how she is tough to beat. And then all of a sudden, they saw your last chop before you went over.
Yeah.
Did you know at that point, you're like, I got this, or?
I never really focus about, like, what's happening until the block's done. But as soon as the block was done, I turned around, and I saw the time. And I knew that it was a world record.
What was the prior record?
It was 30 seconds.
You beat it by 4 seconds?
Yeah, and my personal best before that was 32 seconds. So I bested my personal best by 6 seconds, which is a pretty big jump.
So you got a Team USA jersey on as well.
Yep. The Steel Timber Sports is a world renowned competition.
That's incredible. I was in Hayward, Wisconsin, aunt and uncle out there, and they do a lot of this type of stuff, some really fun events. Of course, you know, the forestry program down in Missoula, they've always had some fun events as well.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take another quick break here with Montana Talks. The hour is just flying by. Thankfully, we've got another hour to go, so stand by. We'll be back right after this, and it looks like our friend Bob Heron's going to throw on the microphone, so looking forward to hearing from Bob.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
One of the big investment banks is now predicting that these are going to be boom times financially in America. The only sector of the economy that is getting hurt is the housing market, and that's being hurt specifically by one person, one man, that has an animus and an agenda that is contrary to President Trump, and that is the Fed chair, Jerome Powell. I mean, if they could find a reason to fire him, I think he deserves to be fired. He's not up to the job. If he had any honor, knowing that he's disliked to the extent that he is and his policies are that out of sync with a duly elected president, he should resign, get out of the way, and let President Trump appoint somebody that is more in sync with getting interest rates to a level that is more aligned with where the rest of the world happens to be.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
All right, how many times have you told someone, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Now, that's great advice for most things, but not so much for your cell phone. Look, likely over time, the battery will fade, the processor can't keep up, and maybe it's even fallen in the toilet one too many times. Now, fortunately, thanks to Pure Talk, your cell phone is something you can replace without feeling guilty. When you switch to Pure Talk this month, they're going to give you a Samsung Galaxy A36 for free with a $35 qualifying plan. Just $35 a month for talk and text and data and a free Samsung phone with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that lasts all day. It's all on America's most dependable 5G network. Look, supporting companies like Pure Talk is a good thing. To switch, it is simple, it is fast, it is easy. You dial #250, say the keyword save now to get your free phone today. That's #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Foligno. Luke Bryan is the latest artist to get hit by a flying object on stage. The country star and American Idol judge was performing his final song at the North Dakota State Fair Sunday when a mini plush ball was tossed and hit him mid-song. Video posted on TikTok shows the 49-year-old briefly stepping back before shaking it off and finishing the performance without missing a beat. One fan captioned the clip, "Carried on like a champ." Another slammed the incident online, writing in part, "There's no excuse for this." Brian joins a growing list of artists targeted on stage in recent years, most notable pop star Bebe Rexha, who was hit in the face with a phone in 2023. And John Michael Montgomery is going back home to play his final show. The country legend announced that his last show is scheduled for December 12th at the Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got Bob Heron on the microphone. Bob, great to see you. You were just telling me we're going to talk about Montana. In the old days, you were married in Cupbank, Montana. Did you grow up in Cupbank, though?
No, we'll get to that. I grew up somewhere else, but I got here quickly. And I've been listening to you and John Jackson talk about what a mess the people of Whitefish and Bozeman and Missoula have made this. And I think a requirement, you know, if you
like voting in these left-wing city governments.
Right.
Yeah.
And people are moving here without a history in Montana. They don't know why they're here. You know, back in the early 70s, we would go down the Belly River to Lake Elizabeth for a week and camp with about 50 people, 40 heads of horses. If you haven't hiked about 20 of the trails in Glacier, you know, and you don't know why you're here, that's a real problem.
Get out and take a hike. One of the first steps to do, right?
It's really crazy. And then, you know, thank goodness for you in talk radio, but the Daily Interlake has gone way down the tubes, you know, and it's crazy. Just
so much of the media, it's the same left-wing propaganda. And, you know, back in the day when they had Frank Mealy as the editor, you know, you'd get more kind of pro-business stuff and more commonsensical stuff when it comes to, you know, the illegal alien invasion that our state has experienced as well.
Yeah, they're just completely anti-Trump, and it's ridiculous. Talking about the forest and chopping trees, you know, four of the crazy groups have filed a lawsuit about two of the Forest Service projects in White, you know, west of Whitefish right now. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
That's right. Yeah, I saw that story. There's a story. I think the Daily Interlake
it's on
had
the
a story,
front page of the
story about that. How a fuel reduction project, a logging project, whatever you want to call it, that now these radical environmental groups are basically suing to block that project near Whitefish right now. There was another headline that caught my eye earlier this morning. Let me see if I can pull it up here. But you know, interestingly enough, I think this was this the south of Missoula? Basically, they were talking about how the area was saved from a fire thanks to a timber project that
right.
they had down there. Here we go. Another roaring lion averted. How forest management prevented a huge Hamilton fire. Apparently, these people want to see Whitefish burn down to the ground.
Exactly.
Because they're stopping efforts that would prevent things like that from happening.
And then the other last week or so, you and John Jackson were talking about Whitefish and how these morons, some of them on the council, are saying, we're not going to cooperate with the Border Patrol.
Yeah, they got a Border Patrol office in Whitefish.
In Whitefish. And
they're
what they don't
talking
realize,
about kicking them out of there or something.
Some of the rest of us in the Flathead Valley are going to do something about Whitefish. Maybe we'll get rid of Whitefish. It's just totally crazy. I don't know where these people come from.
Well, isn't it funny? Like, it used to be that the Democrats claimed to be the ones that supported government employees and union jobs, but yet here are far-left Democrats trying to kick our great men and women of the Border Patrol out of Whitefish. Like,
exactly.
What the heck? Yeah. Francis, great to see you. Great to see you. What's going on, Francis?
Well, I was just going to say, since my husband was a Border Patrolman.
That's right.
And he'd be rolling over in his grave right now. You know how idiot the Democrat Party was. You know, they used to be decent people.
Well, border security used to be a bipartisan thing. And,
because there'd be one person on for 25, 30 miles. And so you had to work with the sheriffs and the other people, you know, the highway patrol. They worked together all the time, and they helped them if they had a wreck.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, such a good cooperation.
And all across the northern border, you were in Plentywood, and before you made it here to the Flathead, but great men and women.
Yeah, I was born in Scobie, but I grew up in Plentywood.
That's like a rivalry there. You cross. Arlen Call was kind of the same way. He was the retired Border Patrol agent up in that neck of the woods. All right, well, we got to take a quick break. Back with Montana Talks live from Kalispell. This is a crazy story out of Bozeman, Montana. Although not that crazy when you think about how crazy the left-wing politics is there. A female firefighter and medic for the city of Bozeman lost her baby during an ectopic pregnancy, and the city of Bozeman refused to grant her bereavement leave. And when she told them more about her story, they made the policy even worse. Check out that full audio on the Montana Talks podcast on Spotify or on the app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.